Well, good afternoon. As we say in Wales, pronoun da. And you're thinking, oh, dear me, we've got problems, we're speaking in tongues already. Well, I'll interpret that for you. It says good afternoon. Being a Welshman, an old South Welshman living in New South Wales. When I came in this afternoon, a gentleman came up to me and said, you look as if you know what you're talking about. He wanted me to point him in a certain direction. And I've got to say that when I came in this afternoon and I saw everybody there studying, it thrilled my heart because I actually felt so inadequate. And I was delighted and so encouraged to see people in a day in which doctrine is don't talk about doctrine, that were concerned about learning sound doctrine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Paul said to Timothy time and time again, preach sound doctrine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. And I think it grieves the heart of the Lord to see so many people so concerned about social issues and just having the fellowship. Fellowship is important. But God's people need to know what God's word says. Amen? Amen? And that really encouraged my heart that when I came in and just saw a large Bible class. I thought this is just like Bible college. And sound teaching as well. Excellent. Excellent. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8, will you please? Now I know a number of the verses that we will go over this afternoon and we'll look at are already, you've already covered them. Because it really is quite an exhaustive program you have. But nevertheless, repetition is the key to learning. By learning, by repetition. And we see that principle in God's Word, don't we? Time and time again. That when God wants us to understand something and to get into our thick heads, He repeats Himself. Got it the first time? Well, here it is the second time. Got it the second time? Here it is the third time. Understand what I want you to hear. I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, and I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 through to 13. I trust that you've got your swords with you. I'd be very surprised if you haven't, because when I came in down there this afternoon, their Bibles are open, books are open, and pens are out, and I thought that was excited. I was excited about that. And Brother Jarlett was apologizing, getting excited. No need to apologize about getting excited about God's word. Follow with me, would you please? Hebrews 8, verses 6 through 13. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regard them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made, the first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And God will bless the reading of his precious word. Father, we thank you again, Lord, to be able to meet in this way around your precious word. Father, give us hearts and minds this afternoon that will be receptive to your precious word, that it be teachable. And Father, we would be a people, Lord, that would leave this place this afternoon rejoicing in the very fact that you have a plan. Father, for the church, and a plan for your chosen people, the nation of Israel. Oh, Father, help us to understand your word this afternoon. Be with me, Father, as I would lead and I would share the things that you, I believe, that have laid upon my heart. For we ask and pray these things in and through the name of your precious Son, that name that is above all names, that of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Jeremiah, of course, is the second of the major writing prophets. He authored the books of Jeremiah and the small poetic book of Lamentations. And he lived and prophesied around 100 years after Isaiah, beginning in 627 BC until around 575. The final chapter of the book of Jeremiah apparently was added by a scribe detailing events that most likely occurred after Jeremiah's death at around 560. Jeremiah began prophesying as a young man. We see that in Jeremiah 1 and verse 6. You may be familiar with J. Vernon McGee, and he wrote this concerning Jeremiah. God chose this man who had a mother's heart, a trembling voice, and tear-filled eyes to deliver a harsh message of judgment. The message that he gave broke his own heart. One author has written, he was not a man mighty as Elijah, eloquent as Isaiah, or seraphic as Ezekiel, but one who was timid and shrinking, conscious of his helplessness, yearning for sympathy and love he was never to know. Such was the chosen organ through which the word of the Lord came to that corrupt and degenerate age. Such was the man, Jeremiah. Here we have this afternoon the prophecies, really the future 12 tribes and Judah's near captivity from chapter 30 through to 39. And it's in this area that we're going to be looking. And the call of the prophet, of course, was during the reign of Josiah. And we see that in chapter 1 of Jeremiah. The prophecies of Judah and Jerusalem prior to Zedekiah's reign, chapters 2 to 20. Prophecies during the reign of Zedekiah, chapters 21 through to 29, which of course leads to the destruction of Jerusalem. Prophecies read the future of the 12 tribes and Judah's near captivity in chapters 30 through to 39. And prophecies to the remnant left in the land after the destruction of Jerusalem, chapters 40 through to 42. And then prophecies during Jeremiah's last days in Egypt, chapters 43 through to 51. And the fulfillment of prophesied destruction, or the prophesied destruction of Jerusalem, we find in chapter 52. That gives you a very quick outline, an overview, as it were, of the book of Jeremiah. In chapters 30 through 39, of Jeremiah, we see the prophecies concerning the future of the 12 tribes of Israel and Judah's near captivity. It is in this portion of the book of Jeremiah that we will focus our attention to, and in particular chapters 32 to 33. We see first of all in chapter 30 the coming of the great tribulation. Chapters 32 to 33, the I will chapters. Again in chapter 32, the purchase of the land while Jeremiah was imprisoned. The coming kingdom is promised in chapter 33. The captivity of Zedekiah foretold in chapter 34. The Rechabites obey God, we see that in 35. And the word of God destroyed by Jehoiakim, chapter 36. The imprisonment of Jeremiah again in chapters 37 and 38, and the captivity of Judah and Jeremiah's release in chapter 39. These are the two chapters that we'll be looking at this afternoon, 32 and 33.